The Eating Disorders Anonymous speaker feed does not represent EDA as a whole, but rather shares the views, experiences, and resources used by the EDA member who is speaking in their individual journey towards recovery. Thanks for being here. We're glad to have you.
Hi. Hi, I'm Emily. I'm in recovery from an eating disorder.
Hey, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hello. Obviously I like to think about myself a lot. That's a good way to start. When Kale asked me to share on step six, I was like, this is kind of a hard step to share on. Maybe he thinks I'm extra capable of sharing on this step that has like one paragraph in the big book. He's like, oh, she's done this step. She can maybe talk for 15 minutes on it. And I can. So the step six is we're entirely ready to have all these defects removed. I want to make sure I get that right. And I want to stop making noise with the thing. Okay, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Am I doing something with them?
No, I think there's other people that need to be muted.
That's your fault.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of characters. So, character is the one. So kind of the purpose of step six is, so we have these character defects that we've accumulated or compiled after our step five. And I like in the EDA big book that it kind of says that the first part of step six is kind of processing where you're at with step five, because there's a lot there. So it just says be where you're at and accept where you're at, which I really like that. And then there's this question that we all face of, okay, so what do we do with these defects? Like, what are we supposed to do? And it's a genuine question. And I've been in the program for a little while, and sometimes I still don't know. Because it's just like, well, what do we do? My go-to is to pick out the defect and read several books on it. And then make like a list of things I can do to fix it, and then, you know, track my progress or something ridiculous. And that is not how I approach life anymore, because I'm not in control of everything, and I don't have power over everything. If I could stop these character defects just by snapping my fingers, I would. And the same is true by putting in a boatload of effort, possibly towards, like, you know, not an attainable goal. So I think it's worth looking at step six to say, okay, so what do we do? I think they point out a difference in between stopping the behaviors versus the defects which fueled those behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, because we have quite a radical experience usually in recovery of having our eating disorder behaviors removed and, you know, or slowly dissipate over time, whatever, you know, the process is for you. And, but it's not necessarily going to look the same with the character defects that fuel those behaviors. And, you know, it's kind of a complicated issue, but, on, I think, 169 in the EDA big book is, So it's basically the fact that, you know, I think the way they sum it up is that when we were in our eating disorders, we were literally fighting a natural instinct to live, like a core, you know, instinct to stay alive. And so by aligning ourselves with, you know, the natural human desire to live, like, that was seamless. But it gets messier when it gets into character defects, because sometimes we're trying to get things that really matter, like security and safety and validation. And so what we're trying to get is a good thing. It's not death. The way of going about it is really troublesome. And so it's old ways that need to be replaced with new ways. So on 169, it says something about, the first thing we need to do is to recognize that our natural desire for safety, security, validation, and connection to others sometimes led us to take actions that, in retrospect, completely undermined the very objectives we sought. And then it goes on to say that, you know, we might have behaved in certain ways, and we might have obtained we can think of no example where self-aggrandizement or manipulation obtained the desired result without an even more undesirable effect on our character. So I like to focus on that because it shows that character defects can be harmful when we act on them because they deteriorate our character and they deteriorate how I feel about myself, which then leads into my eating disordered behaviors. Mm-hmm. So it's all connected, and I think it's so important to remember that because just like stopping my eating disordered behaviors, getting a handle on my character defects is directly linked to saving my life and keeping me out of those behaviors. So a good way, I just did so much reading, I knew I was going to have way too many quotes and too much to say. I knew it. And so a good way I read about of sort of figuring out what your character defects that you want to work on are or how to go about it, you know, is the question like, what do I most want to change about myself? You know, or sometimes having a sponsor or a counselor to work through it with and to go through your list. But one thing I really picked up on was just that this is a unique process for everyone. Everyone's step six looks different, and it's not like a one-time, one and done. It's the exact opposite. I think it's an ironic coincidence that there's only a paragraph about it when in fact it's a lifetime job. And it has to be. And I think it's so important to point that out because in the 12 and 12, I was doing some reading and I was laughing. It talks about like aiming for perfection. You know, many will at once ask, how can we accept the entire implication of step six? This is on 68 of the 12 and 12. Why, that is perfection. This sounds like a hard question, but practically speaking, it isn't. And I'm like, that's cool, thanks, because I struggle with perfectionism. But then it kind of goes on to say, you know, we shall need to raise our eyes toward perfection and be ready to walk in that direction. It will seldom matter how haltingly we walk. The only question will be, are we ready? And as someone who is me with an eating disorder, I see that and I'm like, are you kidding me? All I want is to be perfect. All I've ever wanted is to be perfect. Of course I want to be perfect. I don't think that I'm reluctant to have these defects removed, and I don't know why it's taking so long. But that's why I think it's about being ready. I quite know it's about being ready. And the openness they talk about is important because it's sometimes to be ready, you know, they talk about in the EDA Big Book, to look at, you know, there's a lot of good reasons why they're not safe on page 171, you know, why they're dangerous to hold on to. But I found that for me, in my experience, one of the most helpful ways of becoming ready was to specifically look at the ways in which they were awesome to hold on to. Because I needed to know why I was clinging on to them. I needed to know what I was getting. So I wrote an example, and it's just kind of random, but like, so seeking outside validation. I did this one today because I've been doing this a lot lately. So, and especially male validation. So, reaffirms my attractiveness and sensuality, things I never got and yearned for growing up. Gives me something to fantasize about, idealize. I love fantasizing. Gives me some, quick fix for needing to feel safe and taken care of. I feel loved and lovable. It's a distraction, so I don't focus on myself as much. Mm-hmm. I don't have to take responsibility for my needs. And it's relief from depression and negative emotions. And I could probably have written like a whole other page about that. Those are just some amazing things that I get out of seeking that validation. And I think it's so useful. It's been so useful in my recovery to write those things down, because it just makes me more objective about my character defects. And it also gives me some space from them. And it also shows me what I'm looking to do. And so that opens me up to other ways of obtaining that. And also maybe other habits that I want to let go of, you know, and just like, you know, looking back on my childhood and being like, oh, okay, I see that you didn't get this. Why don't we try affirming ourselves, you know, validating ourselves, and instead of putting myself in situations that end up messy and complicated as a way to get that need met. And then there's just so much awesome stuff. I think, so they talk about open-mindedness in the 12 and 12, which I think is really important, because I think part of being ready is an open-mindedness to working on ourselves and to change and to looking at things from a different angle. There's this passage that I really don't like, but also like, and it's in, I don't know, Kale, tell me, Big Book maybe, where it says, or 12 and 12 possibly, where like everything that upsets us, it goes back to us. It's a very well-known paragraph. It's like, if we are upset, ultimately is because something is wrong with us. It's like one of those paragraphs you're gonna hear maybe. And I don't like that, but it's also a touchstone of growth. It's my only power. I cannot change other people. And I think step six is about focusing on our readiness and what we can change, and that's us and our willingness. And it's a commitment to saying, when I'm in a situation where it seems like everyone wronged me and I'm the victim, and maybe in some ways I really was wronged, it's a commitment to this new way of life, which is saying, what was my part? What can I do differently? How can I, you know, change my behavior in the future to obtain a different result, you know? And I just think that is, it's a tough commitment to make, but it's part of being ready to have these defects removed. And then I thought this was really interesting. I read in a book, it says, you know, being ready for freedom. You know, are we ready for freedom? And I think that's a big question that is like just has a lot of meat to it. But what they particularly pointed out was, you know, needing to take full responsibility for our actions. If we have freedom to choose, we can't rely on this sort of phrase, that's just how I am. You know, or like, I can't help it. That's just the kind of person I am. You know, that's just how I react to things. And like, I've said these things. And sometimes it feels like a reality. having freedom means, no, I have a freedom to look at that and to choose to be open to it changing. So I guess the final answer to the question of like, what do we do with these defects? Is it's unique, like our recovery. But in general, I would say it's about working the steps. It's replacing old habits with new constructive ideas, thoughts, or acts. And then I really wanted to read, I have this crazy book that's a 12-step book, and they said some really beautiful things about it. On 53. Let's see. I'm almost done. It says, by merely attempting consciously to live the program, principles, prayers, and slogans, which we call doing the footwork, we unconsciously become ready to have God remove our defects of character. And our willingness to have them remove them is an unconscious request to them, which they hear just as well if we had consciously phrased the request in a verbal and audible prayer. And I just think that it sort of takes the pressure off of, I have to attack this full force, you know, tooth and nail. It's more about, I am allowing these changes to happen with and through me. And then there's this beautiful thing that they say, They talk about... Oh, I can't find it. It just says we are different somehow. There's this part where it says we are different somehow. It's like it kind of happens gradually. Other people might notice and be like, man, you're really managing your emotions really well. Or, you know, you've really handled some difficult situations and, like, with such composure. And it's going to be stuff like that that's going to be really gradual. And so I think with that I'll pass so that there's enough time for sharing. But thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Emily. Hooray.
Thanks. Hi, Michelle.